Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We have reached that point in the program, the bonus hour, fourth and final one here on this Thursday. Tomorrow, by the way, I'll be on the road at the Home and Garden Show. Wherever I am, of course, you know what we are doing. Let's do that. Just grab the phone. Use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. If texting is your preferred mode of communication, Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is there for you, 71307. And my email address, bob@1063word.com. In on the text line, Bobby, sometimes this is overwhelming. How do we beat this? We keep pointing out the fascism of the left and just how loony they are. They are the tyrants in this situation, and we keep pointing it out, and I think realistic, rational people will recognize these folks for what they are, nut jobs. Bob, between the fact that liberals right now are running for their life with this investigation against Trump and the fact that the best legal mind that we've ever nominated for Supreme Court, it all has the Democrats running scared. And we all know it's very transparent. The truth and the righteous shall inherit the earth. Where's the beginning of this one? Here we go. Bobby Ford was probably 15 or 16 when he snuck off to the party. I think the report said he might have been 17. Anyway, she should have learned a lesson. I'm thinking of filing a sexual harassment lawsuit against a guy who in fifth grade snapped my bra several times, LOL. I'm 65. All the mess by Ford is as ridiculous as me filing a similar lawsuit. Move on, doctor. From Mary and Taylor. Thank you, Mary. Appreciate that. Bob, as she and her family were forced out of their home, sounds like her husband needs to order a pair of NADs. Maybe you can send him the address of that company. Yeah. Bob, what about the eyewitnesses that said they didn't recall any of this happening? Well, that's a fair question. Susan Collins, a key Republican voter, telling reporters, there are an awful lot of questions, inconsistencies, gaps, and that's why we want to be fair to both. We need to know what happened. Among those therapist notes from 2012 that Ford gave to the Washington Post in an attempt to corroborate her claim, those notes, though, say four boys, not two, were in the room during the alleged incident. Ford told the newspaper this was an error by the therapist. Mm-hmm, I see. Ford, who has acknowledged she can't remember some details from the incident decades ago, has said she was reluctant to come forward and only did so because her hand was forced by the media. Quote, as you know, earlier this summer, Dr. Ford sought to tell her story in confidence so that lawmakers would have a fuller understanding of Brett Kavanaugh's character and history. Ford's attorneys wrote in a letter to the Judiciary Committee, only after the details of her experience were leaked did Dr. Ford make the reluctant decision to come forward publicly. Well, wait a second. Why then did she call the Washington Post tip line if she was interested in remaining anonymous? And there are also questions about why Dr. Ford hired a well-known sexual harassment attorney and took a polygraph test ahead of time if she wasn't prepared to make the allegation public. If Ms. Ford really did not want to come forward, never intended to come forward, never planned to come forward, why did she pay for a polygraph in August? And why did she hire a lawyer in August if she never intended to do what she's doing? Queried our own South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham-Nasty on Fox News. Meantime, those named by Ford as being president of the party in the 1980s deny the allegations. That includes Kavanaugh, who, of course, has emphatically denied the claim, and Mark Judge, a friend of Kavanaugh's named by Ford, who disputes her claims and says he wasn't at the party in question, doesn't remember anything about it. Another former classmate of Kavanaugh denied having any knowledge of the party or the allegations. Patrick Smyth, I believe that's how it's pronounced, S-M-Y-T-H, might be Smith with a Y. I understand that I've been identified by Dr. Christine Blasey Ford as the person she remembers as PJ, who supposedly was present at the party she described in her statements to the Post. I am issuing this statement today to make it clear to all involved, I have no knowledge of the party in question, nor do I have any knowledge of the allegations of improper conduct she has leveled against Brett Kavanaugh. Fueling more curiosity, a supposed former classmate of Ford, who posted a statement on Facebook this week saying the incident did happen and was spoken about for days afterward in school. But that post came under scrutiny because of Ford's previous statements that the alleged incident occurred during the summer and not during the school year, and that she hadn't discussed it with anyone until counseling with a therapist in 2012. A classmate who posted the statement, Christina King Miranda, eventually deleted the post on Wednesday and clarified, I do not have firsthand knowledge of the incident that Dr. Ford mentions, and I stand by my support for Christine. That it happened or not, I have no idea. I can't say that it did or didn't. Well, then why did she post on Facebook that it did happen? If for nothing more than her 15 minutes of fame. Ford's legal team, meantime, has given differing statements about whether Ford was willing to testify. Now, of course, today they say, well, you know, if the terms are fair and her security is guaranteed, well, look, the security is good enough for the members of the United States Senate. It should be good enough for a college professor, I would think. And what terms are they talking about? Do they want her to be answering questions from an independent attorney? Do they want her to not be testifying under oath? Eliminating the threat of perjury? What are their terms? And by the way, who says they get to set any terms? So we'll see what happens between now and 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, which is the deadline that Chairman Chuck Grassley has set for her to say she'll be there Monday. Now, they have said today, apparently, in emails or letters or text messages, whatever, carrier pigeon, to the Judiciary Committee, that she's willing to testify, but not on Monday. Which, again, seems patently obvious that they're trying to stretch the clock on this thing as far as they possibly can, get it closer to the midterms, and continue the daily vilification of Kavanaugh's character by the CNNs and BSNBCs of the world. So we'll see. Quarter after six here on the Bobby Mac Show. Stand by, because Boneheads in the News is on the way next. Welcome back. 6:20 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Boneheads is coming right up. Speaking of boneheads, how about Al Gore, Mr. Green Thing, former VP Al Gore, failed presidential candidate, compared the Trump administration to an experiment that's, quote, terminated early for ethical reasons. in an interview with BSNBC anchor Andrea Mitchell that also touched on the upcoming election and man-made global warming. On that subject, Gore repeated the line he uses in nearly every speech. Every night on the television news is like a nature hike through the Book of Revelation. Not only do we have this massive storm hitting the U.S., yeah, Category 1 hurricane. Not to downplay the damage that's been done to the flooding, but it was a Category 1 when it came on shore. But simultaneously, the Philippines is being slammed by another super typhoon. Hawaii's being hit by Tropical Storm Olivia. We just finished the largest fire in the history of California a month ago, blah, blah, blah. Gore made no mention of consensus scientific assessments that find no evidence. Hurricanes are becoming more powerful or frequent. Florence also tracked over abnormally cold ocean water, according to temperature data. One such assessment from 2017 by NOAA found it's premature to conclude that human activities have already had a detectable impact on Atlantic hurricane or global tropical cyclone activity. But, you know, as is usually the case with progressives and with a guy that obviously has skin in the game here selling his global warming agenda, he ignores the facts. Meantime, how about Governor Moonbeam? California Governor Jerry Brown ramped up his criticism of President Trump in an interview that aired Monday, calling the president a saboteur in the fight to combat climate change and saying, quote, something's got to happen to this guy. Something's got to happen to this guy? The Secret Service may have yet another appointment on their agenda. Text line, Bobby, if Monday does not suit Dr. Ford, Senator Grassley should say, fine. Then your only other options are this Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Bob, our California professor says she feels threatened. Gee, aren't we just following the instructions of Maxine Waters to confront our political opponents whenever or wherever we can in the streets and restaurants, gas stations, and their homes? It's not bullying. Bobby, for those who want to know, Brett Kavanaugh, the brilliant, said he's already gone through a polygraph test when he went through his FBI background check. Nothing came up then. Nothing came up now. He just wants to clear his good name and wants an apology from the Democrat Party for putting them all through this heartache. I feel for his family. Yeah. As do we all. It's so unnecessary. All right, here we go. Time for today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
Yes. Gee, I don't know if it's that melodramatic or not. Well, in any event, Charlotte's legendary lobster pound in Maine currently offers its lobsters steamed or boiled. But the owner is really hoping you'll enjoy them baked out of their skulls. Charlotte Gill, who opened Charlotte's legendary lobster pound in Southwest Harbor 7 years ago, experimenting with getting the lobsters high off marijuana smoke before killing and cooking them, believing it to be more humane than the traditional methods. It makes you long for the good old days, you know, when they just gave the little lobster a little tiny blindfold and a cigarette, and that was pretty much it. Meantime, you know that old saying, those who can do, those who can't teach. Here's a prime example. Bradley Clow, an associate professor at the University of Montana, where he teaches Buddhism and yoga. Boom, boom. He was not very centered or very zen, though, earlier this month, when he was at a Jason Isbell concert and punched a bouncer who tried to get him to leave a VIP tent. Arrested for misdemeanor assault. Turns out it's not his first arrest either. It violated a probation order he got back in May on a DUI. Yeah, by the way, that was DUI number 5. Wonder what Buddha would have to say about this. Here's a sentence I'm pretty sure has never been said before in the history of mankind. Get your butt cheeks off those rutabagas. Police in Manassas, Virginia, got a call from a giant grocery store Saturday afternoon about something very unusual happening. A guy was picking up different pieces of produce, dropping his trousers, rubbing them on his, well, you know, his, right, and then putting them back on the shelves. Cops came and arrested 27-year-old Michael Dwayne Johnson, charged with indecent exposure, destruction of property, and the grocery store had to throw out a ton of their produce because it had been contaminated by his butt cheeks. Wow. Here we go. This is a classic as well. Here's a guy in Florida, does all his yard work, well, au naturel. His neighbors keep calling the cops. Turns out, though, there's not much the cops can do. He's not actually doing anything illegal because he is on his own property. I guess at least the neighbors have some great pictures of this guy. Here they are talking about him.
I came out, was it Sunday night, put the trash out. I look over and he's bent over, winding up his hose, and like, that's my view of my neighborhood. He works on his car and he does it naked, and you know, everyone's called the police, and but he's just out there doing his yard work, is whatever he needs to do outside naked.
Yeah, have some respect for the neighborhood. Kids catch the bus here. It's wrong. I've seen these people actually stand on their front step buck naked, both of them, and talk to a police officer. Sheriff's department. Sheriff's department told me turn my head.
I'm not one of those people that have concerns, just because it's their way of life and it's on their property and I know it's legal.
If they're private, you know, why are your privates on display? I mean, that's not private at all. That's very public.
I would be inclined to agree. That's about as public as you can get. Well, how about Judy Cochran? You don't want to mess with this grandma. Judy Cochran, she's a mayor, by the way, Mayor Judy Cochran. She had a miniature horse, which disappeared, and she believed, probably rightly so, that it had been killed by a 12-foot-long, 500-pound alligator. And she's been after that gator for 3 years. She is the newly elected mayor of her town, and in addition to her electoral victory, she also was able to catch up with a gator that killed her horse.
It just kept dinging all day long, and that's why I carried an extra charger with me. This is what I killed on Monday, and several wrote back, no, you did not do that. And I said, yes, I did do that. One shot in the head, and he just went under. Typically, they'll do what they call a death roll, and just roll over and over and over. Well, this one didn't. 3 years ago, we came up missing a miniature horse, and they're about so big, about like a big lab. And I said, don't mess with Nana. My grandchildren call me Nana.
Yeah, and the gator learned the hard way. Don't mess with Nana, pal. Gonna make a good-looking piece of luggage, I bet, though. There you go. That's today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
6:29 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Annie's next in the news center. I'm right back on the other side with the last half of the bonus hour here on Thursday. Yes, indeedy. Merit Award winner. Bobby Mack Show, South Carolina Broadcasters Association Radio Show of the Year. Although progressives have their own kind of award for me, they typically, when they hear the program, say things like,
you suck!
And other such complimentary comments. 6:37, 23 before 7 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Much has been written, much has been said about what's going on between Kavanaugh and the allegations against him. There was a really good piece written today. It was an opinion piece at the New York Post entitled The Drive to Sink Kavanaugh is Liberal Totalitarianism, and I think it nails it. If Senate Democrats and their media allies manage to destroy Brett Kavanaugh, They will bring America one step closer to a new liberal style of totalitarianism. And make no mistake, that's exactly what they're after. I don't use the T word lightly. I've spent years pushing back against those who fling it about in free societies like ours. But totalitarianism doesn't require cartoonish 1984 style secret police and Big Brother. The classical definition is a society where everything, ethical norms and moral principles and truth itself, is subjugated to political ends. By that measure, the Democrat campaign to block Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court, based on a hazy, uncorroborated, decades-old assault allegation, tends toward the totalitarian. Certainly, it has many of the elements of abusive politics that Americans normally associate with foreign lands untouched by the light of liberty and reason. An initially anonymous accusation surfacing at the 11th hour, seemingly calculated to strike terror into the hearts of Kavanaugh and his family members and supporters. Check. That came in the form of Senator Dianne Feinstein's cryptic statement last week, confirming that she had, quote, received information from an individual concerning the nomination of Kavanaugh and then declining to offer any details. An accusation that's impossible to rebut? Check. Senate Democrats are demanding that the FBI look into the allegations first before the Judiciary Committee holds a hearing. But Kavanaugh's accuser, Christine Blasey Ford, can't remember the time or location of the alleged incident. An FBI probe is impracticable, not to mention improper, given the lack of a federal crime. Kavanaugh's integrity is thus besmirched, and the path to the only forum where he could clear his name is obstructed. A media mob that treats the mere existence of an accusation as proof of its veracity? Check. And the examples of this are legion. My favorite came courtesy of a writer at The Atlantic who claimed that her own run-in with a pervert meant that Kavanaugh is also guilty. This just a couple of years after Rolling Stone's University of Virginia fiasco was supposed to have taught reporters a lesson about the importance of listening to the accused as well as the accusers. It didn't have to be this way. Feinstein could have, she didn't have to leak the anonymous accusation to the press, contrary to Dr. Ford's wishes, or she could have urged Ford to go public early, giving both parties enough time to be heard. Even now, Feinstein and her colleagues couldn't back a committee hearing without which Kavanaugh has no realistic opportunity for mounting a defense. Kavanaugh is a judge and a political operator, but he's also a father and a husband. But no, Senate Dems have settled on the ugliest means available, even by the standards of the body that added the verb borking to our political vocabulary. The question is, why have Republican high court nominations brought out the worst from the left, going back to the Ronald Reagan era? The short answer, and this is a point that I was making earlier in the program, the short answer is that liberals fear their major cultural victories of the past half century are democratically illegitimate. Not a single one was won at the ballot box. Going back to the Supreme Court's 1965 Griswold decision, which recognized a constitutional right to contraceptives. From abortion to gay marriage, plus a host of less titillating issues, modern liberalism has lived by the court. And liberals fear their cause will die by the court. Unless, that is, they block conservative encroachments into the judiciary by all means necessary. Hence, borking and Clarence Thomasing, and hence, too, the naked slandering of Mitt Romney in the course of the 2012 presidential campaign to forestall his shifting the court to the right. I wish I could say that the way out of this impasse is for the right to double down on the gentle conservatism represented by Romney, the Bush dynasty, and the late John McCain. Perhaps that is the right course in the long term. But for now, it is imperative for the health of American democracy to resist the liberal ruthlessness that is on display in the halls of the Senate. The verb to Kavanaugh must not be permitted to enter our lexicon, lest the step to unfreedom become irrevocable. That's a great piece. I'll give it to Moneypenny so we can put it up on our Facebook page. Written by Sarab Amari, senior writer at Commentary and author of the forthcoming memoir of Catholic conversion called From Fire by Water. And it's a really good piece. And I think you can't overstate the fact that he makes the very valid case that all of the liberal agenda, the progressive agenda, the changes in the culture in this country in the past 50, 60 years, none of us have voted on those. And as a result, are democratically illegitimate. Not a single one was won at the ballot box. And if they lose the liberal tilt of the court that's been there since Earl Warren, then as a party, they are in big trouble, which is why they are fighting tooth and nail using any and every accusation they can that they can try and keep Judge Kavanaugh off the court. Bob, I saw an article that said the same accuser, Ford, also had a letter accusing Gorsuch, as they were at the same school. Well, they couldn't have been at the same school because, you mean Kavanaugh and Gorsuch at the same school. That could be. Ford was at an all-girls school. Bob, Brett Baier just asked Trey Gowdy, would you consider being the next attorney general? And Trey said why Graham wouldn't vote for him. Lindsey Graham wouldn't vote for him? That is messed up. Bobby Mack, fantastic show today. Thank you. That lady Nana, kill the gator that got her miniature horse. That lady Nana are what my kind of people do. Believe me. Woo!
That one's actually from Springer.
That's got to be from Springer. Yep. Bob, rule number one of doing things that involve being naked, never force your views or fun on anybody else. Too easy. I thought it was a pretty poor choice of words, too, in the soundbite. When she looked outside and the guy was unwinding his hose, maybe just was viewing that in the... Bob, getting lobsters high on marijuana smoke? So what? Next, will they let the cockroaches shotgun before stomping them? Who knows? Bobby, I don't think the Democrats are thinking of their future when it comes to the Supreme Court. Once this guy is confirmed, after all the crap they put him through. Bob, Fox News is reporting that Mueller's team and the president's legal team are negotiating to have a little chit-chat. Gotcha. And I think that catches me up with the text line for the moment. Not a moment too soon. 6:46, 14 before 7. Take the last break here and then be right back to wrap things up here on the penultimate workday of the week, Thursday edition, here on WORD.
Work.
That's it. My work here is almost done for today, but that's what we do. We slave away for 4 hours each day over a hot microphone and a computer terminal. In on the text line, Bobby, I don't understand why you have separate times for boneheads. I mean, you've been talking about them for 3 hours. Feinstein, Waters, and the list goes on and on. Yeah, true enough. Bobby, here's a tip. Never fry bacon naked. Yeah. It could lead to an unhappy outcome for sure. Bob, social media is reporting this professor had 3 abortions before she graduated from high school. What? Well, you know, You got to take it with a grain of salt, anything you see on social media. There's everything is floating around out there. Anything else that I have missed here on the text line? Oh, Bobby, could you run the NADS commercial again? Yeah, I guess we could bring back the Bobby Mac semi-professional players for a second round here on Thursday. Roll that commercial, please. Wait a minute.
You know the feeling. Every time you go on Facebook or watch TV, something offends you. But now there's help. Introducing the Negative Assault Defense System, or NADS. Once you have a set of NADS, people won't be able to hurt your feelings. For instance, when you get your pair of NADS, you'll learn that you can form your own opinions without having to get them from the internet or the news. Order now and you'll receive a package of easy-to-use NADS seeds. That's right. Grow your own pair of NADS. As your NADS get bigger, you'll have more confidence, and you'll need our proprietary carrying case. Well, it's more like a sack. And if someone kicks your NADS, don't worry. They're made of steel. NADS are now available for men and women because more and more people could use a pair. So the next time you feel offended by someone else's opinion, relax, because you've got NADS.
What?
Okay, there we go. Bobby Mac, semi-professional players back in action again. All right, we also have time quickly today for a abbreviated edition of Amazing. Well, go ahead, Gary, good voice.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Bob McLean presents Amazing, Amazing, True, True Facts.
Yes, indeedy. Here's the Thursday edition. Trouble motivating yourself to get up off the couch to get stuff done? Don't worry, it's not a sign you're lazy. Merely means you're human. According to a study by evolutionary biologists from the University of British Columbia in Canada, it turns out we are all hardwired to be lazy. So when you do get motivated to do stuff, your brain has to work extra hard and use lots of energy to overcome human nature. Why are we built to be lazy? Helps our bodies save energy. And for ancient humans, that was a big advantage because it meant you could use your extra energy for hunting saber-toothed tigers and for survival. Okay. I always thought Cookie Monster seemed like he was one bad life decision away from turning into some kind of crackhead or something. Well, according to a new study from Home of the Buckeyes, The Ohio State University, it turns out chocolate chip cookies are just about as addictive as cocaine. Here's why. Sugar, as you know, is incredibly addictive. Yeah, I know that. Chocolate chip cookies are loaded with a stuff more than 2 teaspoons of sugar per cookie. And the fat in the cookies also gets you hooked. Chocolate chips have a small amount of a compound that triggers your brain in the same way that marijuana does, making you happy. And finally, the nostalgia that comes from the taste, not to mention the smell of the cookies, gives you another temporary shot of good feelings. So you combine all those things together. It's amazing we're not all shoving chocolate chip cookies into our mouths right now. Although I think I'm on my way. And finally, should you lie or stretch the truth on your resume to land a job? Uh-uh. Now, some lies are worse than others. The most serious thing you can lie about is your education. Turns out that's even worse than lying about having a criminal record. Top 5 resume lies that can ruin your chances of landing a job. Lying about a degree you didn't really attain. 89% said you're out if you do that. Lying about your criminal record, almost as bad, 88% said it would cost you the job. Lying about a certification or a job-related license you don't really have, 85% say, no, that's a major no-no, you're gone. Lying about your work experience, 84% said that is a serious lie as well and also would eliminate you from consideration. Lying about technical skills or claiming you're proficient in programs you've never used, 75% said it would impact their decision. You know what that reminds me of? Jet Daniels, winner of the Emmy Award for the Western Godless, and his advice to actors saying, when the casting agent calls and asks if you can ride a horse, Don't lie. Because on your first day on the set, you will discover you are in the Kentucky Derby. Good advice. Got to wrap things up for this evening. Thanks so much for being here. I'm on the road tomorrow, by the way. I'm at the TD Convention Center for the Home and Builders Show. Come on by there if you get a chance. See you then tomorrow at 3. God bless.
Back home, huh?
Well, kids, that's our show for today. And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter, every time we say goodbye,
goodbye.
You say goodbye, and I say hello.
Hello, I must be going.
What?
I must be going.
So long, farewell, our feet are saying goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'll be back.
Goodbye to you.
Goodbye.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Goodbye.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.